We last discussed why I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, how Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary without a human father. There's another very essential element of the Christian's faith, and that is the resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus bodily arose from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion. The question is, why is faith in Jesus' resurrection essential? If Jesus did not raise from the dead, then our faith is empty, is futile. Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 and 17. If he did not raise from the dead, then we are all still in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. If he did not raise from the dead, those who died in Christ have perished in vain. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 18. And Paul says finally in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are of all men the most pitiable. So why do I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, because of eyewitness testimony that I believe is more rational to accept than to reject. First, there's the number of the witnesses. And why is the number important? Well, the strength or weakness of any testimony is affected by the very number of people who witness the act. For example, the law of Moses required at least two or three witnesses in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6. Today, the number of witnesses also plays a crucial role in our justice system. In other words, the more witnesses you have, the stronger your evidence. A second reason the number is important is that there are many witnesses of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3 through verse 8, Paul lists many of these witnesses. Jesus was seen by Cephas, or Simon Peter, in Luke 24 and verse 34. He was seen by the 12, that is the apostles, in Luke 24 verses 36 through 43, as well as in Acts chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. Matthew records for us in chapter 28 in verses 10 through 17 that Jesus was seen by 500 people at one time, which was probably in Galilee. He was seen by his brother James, the Lord's brother. He was seen by Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts 22, verses 6 through 10. And there are other appearances that are recorded in the scriptures. Mark chapter 16 and John chapter 20 record that he was seen by Mary Magdalene. Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10, he appeared to other women returning from the tomb. He appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24. To the apostles, while Thomas was absent, John 20, verses 19 through 24, and then in the presence of Thomas and the other apostles, in John 20, verses 26 through 29. He appeared in John 21 to the seven disciples by the Lake Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, and then to the apostles at the Ascension, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Over the period of 40 days, 500 people saw Jesus after he had died on the cross. Now, that number of witnesses had ample opportunity to determine for themselves if he was really raised from the dead or not. So how do we know that we are not simply being gullible, believing what they wanted us to believe? Well, this leads us to another point to consider, another factor important to accepting the testimony of witnesses: their character. Some of the witnesses had previously not believed in Jesus, like his brothers in the flesh, John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, his brothers even thought that he was crazy. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, seeing him after his resurrection, they became followers, disciples of Jesus. Some of the witnesses were skeptical after Jesus' death, Thomas wouldn't accept the words of the others in John chapter 20. He said unless he could put his fingers in the holes where he had been pierced. Not until he had what's called empirical evidence would he believe, John chapter 20. So this demonstrates witnesses who were not gullible and witnesses who were not easily deceived. And one witness was even a former enemy, Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Until he saw Jesus raised from the dead, he didn't believe it was God's will to oppose. He believed it was God's will to oppose Jesus and his followers, Acts 26. So the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is a powerful evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. These witnesses all required overwhelming evidence to convince them that Jesus truly rose from the dead. And this leads us now to consider the strength of their witness. It was demonstrated by their empirical testimony. Their testimony appealed to this empirical evidence. In other words, evidence derived from experiment or observation rather than just a theory. For 40 days, they were given infallible proofs. That's what Acts 1 and verse 3 tells us. Excuse me, in Acts 10 and verse 41, Peter records for us there that they ate and drank with Jesus. They saw, they heard, and they touched him, according to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, and 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2. They could not have been deceived or deluded if all they had were individual dreams, visions, or hallucinations, maybe. But they testified that Jesus appeared to them in groups as well as to individuals. So how could groups of people, remember as many as 500 at one time, all have the same details in their vision, if that's what it was, or hallucination? You see, the nature of their testimony gives strength to their witness. Secondly, their strength is seen by being demonstrated by their transformation, the change that this made in their life. Before the resurrection, the disciples of Jesus were afraid and without hope. Mark 14 tells us that they fled when he was arrested. Mark 14 also tells us, beginning in verse 66, that Peter cowardly denied him three times, just as Jesus had prophesied. In Luke 23, the women mourned at his crucifixion. After his death, the disciples were sad, Luke 24. And after his death, the disciples hid behind closed doors because they feared the Jews, John chapter 20 and verse 19. But after the resurrection, they were fearless. They were praising God and proclaiming Jesus. Luke 24 tells us that they praised God in the temple. And they were proclaiming Christ despite the persecution that they were receiving. Acts chapter 5 is a good example of that. This transformation in their lives is strong evidence for the resurrection as admitted to by one Orthodox Jewish scholar. This is recorded in Time magazine from May of 1979. He said if the disciples were totally disappointed and on the verge of desperate flight because of the very real reason of the crucifixion, it took another very real reason in order to transform them from a band of disheartened and dejected Jews into the most self-confident missionary society in world history. He concluded that a bodily resurrection could possibly have been that very reason. So their remarkable change, their transformation, strengthens their witness. And it was demonstrated by their moral standards. They taught others to live holy lives, 1 Thessalonians 4, Ephesians chapter 4. And they lived their own lives in an unimpeachable way, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 through 12. Does this sound like people who would believe a lie and then preach a lie when they know better? But it's also demonstrated by their sacrifices. The apostles endured so much suffering because of their testimony. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 13. And all but one of them died a martyr's death because of their testimony. and even Jesus' brother, James, history tells us, was thrown off the temple and then clubbed to death for his testimony. How many people would die to preach a lie? There's no motive for them to persistently lie about Jesus' resurrection. You see, the nature of their witness does not allow for the option of being deceived or deluded. Again, they professed empirical evidence. They claimed to have eaten and drank with him, touched him, saw him. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then there is only one alternative. Their witnesses were liars. They were deceivers. And even Paul freely admits this is the only alternative in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 and 15. So, is it reasonable to believe that they purposely told a lie, preached a lie? I don't believe it's a lie. Excuse me. Too many people attested to the very same fact. They were not the kind of people to fabricate such a falsehood. And they lived noble lives and were willing to suffer and die for their testimony. I believe when we carefully examine the lives and testimony of such witnesses, the only reasonable conclusion to draw is that they really saw what they claimed that they saw. Jesus had risen from the dead. It may be that you disagree with this lesson or would like to discuss it further with me. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com and I will be glad to discuss this with you. If you disagree, as I've said in times past, please use scripture to prove your point that you believe you're right and I'm wrong. If you'd like to listen to this again, you can go to the church's website, churchateastside.com, and listen to it there. You can listen to past sermons. You can listen to past radio programs. You can see what the Church at Eastside is about. You can see who we are. You can read articles that are posted there from our weekly bulletin. Again, thank you for being with me. If you'd like to talk to me about this, you can look me up on Facebook. You can email me. Again, that email address is djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Again, I want to thank you for being with me.